Well, baptism is always such a great celebration. And one of the special blessings of this day is that for Caroline and Ethan and Harrison is they're surrounded by all of their family. Isn't that special? And I apologize, when I was going down the list of grandparents, I neglected to mention Roger and Joey Powell, who are here with us today and have been such an important part of Caroline's life. And it's unusual when we have a service like this and when you have all of the grandparents who can be here, as well as great-grandparents who are also with us. The day that the parents brought the children for that dedication, they not only made a commitment, but this church made a commitment. We made a commitment that we would do everything in our power to be the example of Jesus Christ for these young people, to give them opportunities to learn about the Bible, to be involved in mission and ministry, to be engaged in every aspect in the life of the church. And so we have that commitment to follow through. We just had Bible school. We've taken young people to camp. We go on mission trips. That's part of the commitment that we make. In this celebration of baptism, perhaps one of the greatest scriptures is the one that Kim read a few moments ago from the book of Acts. And there's so many wonderful things that come out of that in the baptism of the Ethiopian. But there are two things, and I know you probably noted one of them quickly. Did you notice where it took place? It took place in Gaza. That is the same Gaza where all of the conflict is going on between Hamas and the Israelis. That's the same Gaza where the bombs are flying and where so many people are suffering. What's going on in Gaza today has a relation to what happened with the Ethiopian. Many of you, some of you remember the great old Southern Baptist scholar Frank Stagg. Joanne and Dale, you know Frank Stagg. Coy, you know Frank Stagg. I bet Ray Nance didn't even study Frank Stagg when you were in school. This is old school. But Frank Stagg has what I consider to be the best commentary I've ever read on the book of Acts. And he said the whole story of the book of Acts is simply this. It is the struggle for an unhindered gospel. The struggle for the gospel to move and to expand without interference. Well, what was going on with the Ethiopian? The Ethiopian, this fella had traveled all the way from Ethiopia in Africa to Jerusalem to worship, even though he wasn't a Jew. He was a person that we call a God-fearer. He was a person who wanted to know more about God and who wanted to have a relationship with God. But there were so many things that hindered him, that stood in his way. Number one, he was from Ethiopia. He was not one of the chosen tribe of Israel. Secondly, the fact that he was an Ethiopian meant that he was a Gentile. The only way that a Gentile could actually become a Jew would be to go through this process of conversion. But the fact that he was a eunuch, which meant he had been physically mutilated, there was no way humanly possible that this man could become part of the Jewish faith. And so when Philip explained the scripture to him, and the fact that he even has a copy of the book of Isaiah tells us how serious he was about his faith, he says, "What prevents me? What hinders me? What stands in my way of being baptized?" It's a powerful statement. When we were in Israel a couple of months ago, we had the opportunity to go into the archaeological museum in Jerusalem. You see, when the Ethiopian went to the temple, Gentiles were able to go up onto the Temple Mount. Now, the Temple Mount was a huge raised platform that had been constructed by none other than King Herod the Great. It encompasses over 17 acres. It's just this huge area. It's where the Dome of the Rock is today. A Gentile could go up onto the Temple Mount. Now, they had to go in a separate entrance, reminiscent of the days of segregation in the South. They had to go in a separate door, leave by a separate door, but they could go up on the Temple Mount, but they could not go into the temple. In fact, there was a sign. There was a sign that said, any Gentile who goes beyond this point will be executed. When they were doing archaeological excavations, they discovered that sign. It's etched on stone. And we saw it. It's right here. We saw this in the archaeological museum in Jerusalem. What is this saying? This is saying to this man, to this Ethiopian who wanted access to God, we're not going to allow you to go beyond this point. And so when Philip explains the scripture to him, he said, what hinders me? What stands in my way of being baptized? And Philip said, there's nothing, brother. Here's some water. Here's some water. Are you ready? Are you ready to be baptized? You know what's going on in the Middle East today? Both the Palestinians and the Israelis want the same thing. If you talk to 95% of the people who live there, they will tell you all we want to do is to live together in peace. We don't want this conflict. You've seen the images of all these poor children and these families that are suffering, of these children who have been slaughtered. The bombs keep coming. They keep talking about a ceasefire, but it seems like it never happens. But yet the majority of the people say, we want to be able to live unhinderedly. We want to be able to live without all of these problems. We want to be able to worship. We want to be able to raise our families. The problem is when you have extremists, when you have the Israeli government, when they say, we won't recognize the Palestinians. And if you go to Bethlehem, if you go to anywhere on the West Bank, and some of you were just there, it's like entering a prison. You go into Bethlehem, the birthplace of our Savior, the bus is stopped, and armed guards walk through the bus. And the people who live in Bethlehem cannot leave, not unless they have all kind of credentials. They are hindered. They are prevented from living the life that they want to do that. And then the Palestinians, they say Israel doesn't have a right to exist. And so they're at an impasse, and it's erupted once again into violence. If you were here on the 4th of July Sunday, you heard from a colonial preacher who talked about what life was like one time in these colonies when we were hindered. When Baptists couldn't gather and worship like we do today. But we live in a land of freedom. We gather here today without any interference from the government, without any threat to our gathering, to our well-being, to our lives. So let me ask you the question. What hinders you from being baptized? Now, most of you have already been baptized, but what hinders you from being more involved in the life of the church? What hinders you from reaching out into this community and touching people with the love and the grace of God? What hinders you from being the person that God has called you to be? The problem that we have in the church today is because there are no outside threats. It is so easy for us to be complacent. It's so easy for us to be apathetic. It's so easy for us to be concerned about everything else in life. But what about you? Baptism is a time when all of us need to come back to the water. We need to come back down to the water. And we need to re-examine that commitment that we made on the day of our baptism or our confirmation, even though that might have been decades ago. What prevents you? What hinders you from being more committed, from being more involved? Remember the time Jesus was talking about all the needs? He said, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. God is calling you today. Caroline, Harrison, and Ethan have set the example. They have stepped out on faith. But are you going to be just a spectator today? Are you going to re-examine your commitment and say, what hinders me from being more involved, more committed, more active, reaching out as the hands and the feet of Christ in this community? I'm going to invite our guitar players to come to the front, because we're going to do something really, really special today. We're going to sing Down to the Water to Pray. And as we sing, you see everyone that's going to be involved in this service, which is a great example of who we are as the church. Everyone has a different role to play. And as we listen to this beautiful folk song, let us re-examine our commitment. What hinders you from being more committed in the church of Jesus Christ?